We've played the sound a lot. I'm not going to play it again because Nestor Aparicio, who our guest is, he's for 25 years been the owner and host at WNST BaltimorePositive.com. He's got a lot of insight into this situation. Nestor, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Hey, man, I appreciate you guys having me on out in the Bay Area where you're about to lose the baseball team, right? So I guess all this comes to me from doing this all these years where there's no lease here, which is really the biggest story in Baltimore from the citizen standpoint, is that he hasn't signed the lease. Camden Yards was built 31 years ago. They're sort of out of lease. They're going day to day, you know.
Interesting.
So that's a real political hot button here in regard to whether he's trying to get the team to Nashville, which his brother accused him of doing last year in a really nasty lawsuit that John wrested control of the team from his brother. His mother's still alive. His father, Peter Angelos, who's has a famous name for being an awful owner for three decades, has fallen into ill health. So John Angelos is the one who controls this. He's sort of the protagonist in the story.
All right. Well, let me, with that as a backdrop, you know, Kevin Brown essentially was talking about how the Orioles had not had a lot of success in Tampa Bay, and they had, or in Tampa, and that they had won as many games this year against Tampa as the previous three seasons. I mean, what is this par for the course with the Baltimore Orioles? Is it something new? Why do you think this struck such a chord nationally?
Well, I think you have to go back to the history of his father, right? I mean, I would think many of you in the Bay Area have enjoyed the dulcet tones of John Miller over the last 26 years, right? John Miller's only in San Francisco because Peter Angelos threw him out and refused to pay him and didn't like John. He didn't like that John wore flip-flops and had a Hawaiian shirt. You know, John didn't dress like Chuck Thompson, who was the venerable old 1960s broadcaster who famously had a call here, "Ain't the beer cold?" That was his Oriole victory cheer in the 60s and 70s here when I was a kid. And John Miller was the voice of Oriole baseball, and then Peter bought the team. And listen, man, I mean, you guys have been at this a long time. You're sports fans. If you don't know how badly Peter Angelos has mismanaged this thing, I mean, I've written a book on it. It's called The Peter Principles. You can just Google, literally just hashtag The Peter Principles. And I've written 15 chapters on the whole history of, you know, chapter five was John Miller. That was 1996. I mean, the Orioles had just, you know, went to the playoffs, went to the ALCS. John Miller was his venerable voice, and the owner hated him and kind of threw him out. You guys got him, and we've never really had anything like that here in regard to like a beloved broadcaster because the team hasn't won. I mean, I've owned a radio station for 25 years. The team has been in contention in a race four times. This is one of them. In 26 summers now, this team's been in four pennant races in 26 summers. They've lost half the market to D.C., 2006, this massive Mid-Atlantic Sports Network was set up by Major League Baseball to fund Peter Angelos and the Orioles to be competitive with the Yankees and the Red Sox. You know, Peter pocketed the money for a period of time, and I mean, you can go check the payroll. They have the lowest payroll around, and this side of the A's, I'd say, and are competing. I mean, the backdrop of this is amazing because they're really good.
Right.
This is the most exciting baseball. Guys, this is like a freaking movie. I mean, every night they're going out and beating teams. Every night they have these two star players, and Adley Rutschman, the catcher, and shortstop Gunnar Henderson, that the fans here are clamoring, give them money, pay them, sort of your latter-day Buster Posey kind of thing where, you know, catcher for life and like all of this stuff. And, you know, this guy, John Angelos, he can't get out of his own way. He's the owner's son. You know, you can Google the lawsuit that he and his brother went through last year, airing all the family's dirty laundry, that their father would have lost his mind had he known that all this became public of their acrimony. And the one brother sort of won the battle. He doesn't really talk to anybody in Major League Baseball at all. The fans here are concerned he's moving the team to Nashville. And, you know, this broadcaster is just the latest guy to sort of get in the way. I mean, anything that's perceived as negative by the Angelos family, I mean, they took my press pass 17 years ago after having a press pass for 21 years. So, you know, the family's very, very thin-skinned. And, you know, John Angelos lives in Nashville. I forgot to tell you that, too. He lives in Nashville. And people are afraid he's trying to take the team to Nashville. Gotcha. And doesn't have a lease. So there's, you know, all of that. And the team's great. And he's sitting broadcasters down for reciting facts that he deemed to be unflattering to Orioles teams of past.
Yeah, Nestor, I mean, with that judgment of a specific broadcaster, in this case, Kevin Brown, but it sounds like there's a litany of history with other guys that have represented the Baltimore Orioles on air. I'm curious, as someone that has been in the business for a long time, but specifically in the market of Baltimore, what do you want from your play-by-play announcer? Because it's clear from the actions by the ownership that any representation of, you know, the down times are not acceptable, and only focusing on the presence, which to your point has been a storybook season so far for Baltimore, is the only thing that should come out of your mouth. Like, what do you personally want? Is it a Kevin Brown? Is it a John Mellor? Is it a Chuck Thompson like you're talking about? Because a lot of people out here, I think, are trying to figure out, you know, what kind of representation they want for their sports team. What kind of announcer do you want?
Well, listen, I wrote an open letter to John Angelos today, right? And this is at BaltimorePositive.com. You go read it. It's a pretty scathing takedown. Ray Ratto would be very proud of me. So I would just say this. I was driving in my car back from a Pat Benatar concert in upstate Pennsylvania in the middle of the day Sunday and was subjected to listening to the game on the radio. Fellas, I'll be honest. I own a radio station, right? I do radio every day. I make pizza. I don't sit and listen to a lot of baseball games on radio, right? Like, it's on TV or it's not, or it's on Apple Plus and I'm either going to give them money or I'm not. They've been on Sunday night. I mean, I watch them play 6 days a week, but I'm rarely in my car when they're on. And when I am, it kind of sucks and I'm home in 5 minutes or whatever. I don't know how to judge the broadcast because I don't listen to it enough, but Sunday I listen to it. And my wife's tired of hearing me say these broadcasters suck because Ben McDonald's fantastic. Ben was a 1-1 pitcher who was drafted here to be a savior for the Orioles in 1989. He never turned out to be a savior, but he's a hell of a good guy. He's a great broadcaster, you know, LSU guy. He flies in for the games. He makes the games great. Like, he's Jim Palmer's been on the air here for 40 years. Jim Palmer's a Hall of Famer, and people love Jim Palmer. And Jim is scathing, biting, honest, glib, snarky. Jim's in the effing Hall of Fame, right? Like, Jim can say anything he wants, but nobody else has that privilege on the broadcast, right? Mm. And honestly, when the team's losing, and do the math, 105, 108, 116 games a year, right? And Jim Palmer's calling these lousy games from Yankee Stadium in August, and the team's 50-85, year after year after year. Again, you know, they haven't been competitive in 21 of the 25 years that I've owned. I mean, now, when I say not competitive, I mean out of it in April. Not all-star game, fall apart, make some deals. Just awful forever and ever and ever. I'm in the car Sunday. I'm listening to the game. And this is my, you know, and they're first place. I mean, they're beating the Mets. They're beating everybody. They had a huge sellout on Saturday night. I didn't go to the game. Everybody's on the timeline. They gave Eddie Murray bobbleheads away. They honored the 83 Orioles for the 40-year anniversary. Rifkin, Eddie Murray, Jim Palmer throwing out the first pitch on Saturday night. Sunday, I'm in the car, and Jorge Mateo hit a ball up in the air, and they're calling the play, and he winds up on third base. And the broadcaster's sort of stumbling through it and saying what they're saying. And my wife's driving, and I look down on my phone about 10 minutes later, and everybody's on Twitter yelling about Mateo jaking the ball, holding the bat halfway to first base, watching the ball, and being stranded at third base on what should have been an inside-the-park home run, right? Hmm. I listened to the broadcast. There was nowhere in there where any of that was brought up. It just was a triple. You know, and I'm listening to the game, and I'm not even really getting the game, right? Because these reporters or play-by-play, what, you know, they're team employees. They're intimidated, threatened team Baghdad Bobs for the most part. I mean, Ben McDonald and Jim Palmer can get away with more on the television side, but everybody else is shivering for their life and the $250 that they're getting tonight to work. Like, literally. You know, they're all happy to be there, and the broadcasts are awful when I'm in the car and a guy hits something that should have been an inside-the-park home run and jaked it, and the play-by-play announcer can't say, I don't even know what Mateo was thinking. Mateo was looking at the ball. Just say something that lets me know, like, everybody that watched it with their eyes are going to be outraged. right? You're watching it with your eyes. You're the broadcaster. You have to be trusted, or why am I listening to you? You know, again, guys, I own a radio station. I employ people. You know, I want them to speak truth. And the obvious is obvious. And with the Orioles, the obvious is what you guys have seen in San Francisco, which is we've been subjected to this for a long time. Fellas, right now, go to the website in our community. Go to WBAL. They're the team partner. Go to WBAL.com. Go to Fox 45 of Baltimore. Go to WMAR Channel 2. Go to their websites. The story's not even on their website.
Huh. Interesting. Well, let me ask you this.
That's how this works, boys. Right? You know, I'm on the phone with you out in San Francisco. New York's calling me today. Boston, Chicago, they're calling me to come on. Michael Kay's up in arms. You know, Mad Dogs. Everybody's crazy in New York about it. It's the biggest story in the city. And three out of the four television stations are refusing to report it as a story.
Interesting.
Damn.
Let me ask you this before we let you go. Why do you think it looks like they're going to reinstate him on Friday. Why do you think they're doing that?
I would ask why he's coming back. You know, I mean, I don't, and the fan outcry here is crazy, but, you know, this is giving a professional, a human being, a person whose voice you're trying to sell as integrity. You're the voice of the team. There's integrity involved in that. I don't know how he peddles himself back out with an orange cartoon bird on his shirt and acts like nothing's happened. Three quarters of the television media in the city aren't even reporting the story, right? So, like, did it happen? If the tree falls in the woods, they just go on with this. But, and, you know, the owner hasn't held a press conference. The owner held one press conference in his life. It was Martin Luther King Day 7 months ago. Please go watch it. It would tell you everything you need to know about John Angelos to watch him field a question about the future of his franchise and how he answered Dan Connolly, a trusted reporter, longtime Baltimore Sun and Athletic reporter here, where he attacked Dan Connolly and then said openly to the mayor was sitting next to him, the mayor of Baltimore, at a Martin Luther King Day press conference, that he was offended that he was asked such a question on such a sacred day when he was writing a check for the community. He told Dan Connolly, come down to the warehouse, I'll open my books for you and all the media so you can see how much money we're making. He said that at a press conference, and nobody here is even holding him accountable to that.
Interesting.
I mean, it's really small town, Hickville type of stuff for Baltimore, that this is a story all over the country.
Yeah.
Like, you were calling me and saying how and why, and I'm like, I mean, have you read the script? Like Putin, how and why? I mean, come on. You've been watching this. I mean, we've been watching it here. And really, the difference is the deodorization of winning, right? Like, they're winning. Mike Elias is a baseball genius. They've been so awful for so long that they've had 1-1. They've had 3-1-1s, right? And they brag about it, right? But they have 3-1. They have another one coming up. Matt Holliday's kid is about to come up and become their shortstop and probably move Henderson to third base.
Yeah, Jackson. I mean,
they're loaded, boys. They're going to win 100 games for a couple years here, no matter who their broadcaster is.
Right.
Pretty good baseball team right now. Right. And Mike Elias knows what he's doing.
Hey, Nestor, thank you so much for joining us. Give us some great background and insight on this situation, man. Appreciate it.
I appreciate you allowing my voice to be heard. Viva Bay Area. Can't wait to get back to you guys, man.
All right. That's Nestor Aparicio for 25 years, owner and host at WNST BaltimorePositive.com.